Welcome to the DL Gaming Podcast. My name's Bobby, and today we're going to be talking about DLG Con.
I'm also here. My name's Emilio, and I'm out of booze, dude. I drank all weekend playing video games. It took me back to the old days when I could just play games all day. It was pretty good.
Yep, this is going to be an interesting one. First of all, it's only the two of us. And second, we are not in great shape right now. I mean, I'm not. I'll speak for myself. So I got sick because every time I get on a plane, I sit next to somebody who has the hygiene of a 9-year-old and coughs without covering their mouth. So that was fun. Then we had DLG Con, and I have been gaming. I stayed up till 1 o'clock in the morning last night playing a game. Then I woke up at like 6 and just started playing games again. I took a shower at like noon. Yeah. So it's been one of those weekends, but it's been good, man. I've been having a good time playing games.
I'm also out of shape, but I'm just fat.
All right. Well, before we talk about DLG Con, is there anything that you wanted to ping before we get started? A quick mention.
Yeah, there was a quick mention on PC Gamer. They were talking about, here's something to make you feel old. These games are now 20 years old as of this month. Half-Life 2, EverQuest 2, not EverQuest 1, EverQuest 2 is 20 years old, and CS Source is 20 years old. 30-year-old games as of this month are Warcraft and Donkey Kong Country. And I played Donkey Kong Country when it came out, the same month. So that's how old I am.
That was a big game. I remember that one. Wow. Yeah. Decades.
Yeah. Does any of this shock you, Bobby? Does anything make you feel weird?
Yeah, but I mean, everything does that now. There's so many things, so many movies, so many games, just so many things that I see that I'm just like, wow, I feel incredibly dated. But that's okay, because we're still playing video games, man. We never outgrew it.
Yeah, exactly. And then, so let's just jump right into DLG Con in our highlights. You were going through some nostalgic phases. Like when we were playing Left 4 Dead 2, you said, sometimes I wish I could just play this forever.
And I have. There was a summer back when I used to have summers off. There was a summer where all I did was play Left 4 Dead 2. Well, drink and play Left 4 Dead 2.
Yeah.
And I had a lot of I was adding people left and right to my friends list because I was just so involved in the community. And funny enough, I only played like one map in versus mode, but it was a great time. I absolutely loved it. But yeah, we played some Left 4 Dead 2 last night and a little bit this morning as well. And that game holds up so well. I mean, it's hard to explain why it's so good. And there could be a little nostalgia talking, but that is such a well-crafted game. And it's missing a lot of things like that modern games have, like, you know, like progression. That progression and leveling up and just getting some sort of reward for completing tasks other than an achievement. But man, we put it on advanced difficulty and we were having a great time. Like I still think that game is just so solid. I'm not ready to say goodbye to it. Like I want to keep playing it, and the mods for it are fantastic.
Yeah. When you were streaming, I was like, oh, they're, cause all I saw was Stormtroopers, and I was like, they're playing, what is it? Not Galactic Battlegrounds. What is the new 4 years ago, 5 years ago, Star Wars game. Anyway, Battlefront. I thought you guys were playing Battlefront, and I was like, the graphics are pretty shitty for Battlefront. And then I saw that what it was, and I was like, oh shit, you had that, and then all the special infected were like the jockey was a goblin, I noticed.
Yeah, I got some skins going on there. It was looking pretty weird. But yeah, the mods are, they got some fun ones, but they've also got just like great retextures on those that just make the game look really good. And I must say too, like we are still pretty good at that game, man. We jumped in and we were just boom on top of it, moving through the level. The people we were playing with, I don't know, they were struggling a bit. We were doing a little carrying there, I feel like, but.
And you know, what's funny is those two people, it was Ray and Cricket, are definitely better shooters than me. You know, like mm-hmm. We were playing PUBG with them on another night, and they just smoked me completely. Their scores were way, way, way. I was the worst by far. But, yeah. You know, it's It's more strategy than it is.
You got to know the maps in Left 4 Dead.
Yeah.
Like you really got to know the maps and like when the horde comes, where to stand and like when to move and when not to move.
Yeah.
But yeah, but equally we were terrible at PUBG. So we all played some PUBG together. First time I played PUBG since probably 2017. I mean, it's been a long time. I think the last time I think I played PUBG when it hit its 1.0 release. And that was the last time I ever touched that game. And I must say it's come a long way. It's so much better than it used to be. I mean, it was kind of rough and a little janky, I thought. And I didn't really understand why people liked it so much. I think the Battle Royale format was like really popular and I understand that, but I never really connected with it, but playing it now, I was like, this is actually a really good game. I don't know. Yeah. I'm awful at it. So I don't really like playing it, but it was a pretty good time.
Yeah. It's like Battlefront, Battlefield or Call of Duty. It's like a language you need to be able to speak. The pacing and the recoil and all that is, there's no forgiveness on that. You need to know how to handle the weapons. And I do not. So it was fucking dog shit. Like people had scores of 40 and mine was 3. Or zero. So
well, I did a lot better when we did just the free for all, and that was just like a typical like death match where you die, you respawn, you go back in. I did a lot better when it came down to that, but when we played the actual game, I was useless, like completely useless. I mean, I really just tried to be like a distraction, you know, to draw fire so the person on my team could be effective, but I don't even think I did that well.
So I did a poor job of framing this whole thing. When we started off, I wanted a game that was very accessible and very easy to get into, and Gardic Phone is what set the stage really, and it was always a good fallback in case we didn't know what to do. We could play it while we were waiting to figure out what we're going to do next. And if you haven't played it, it's free. You don't even have to have an account or anything. You just literally put your name, whatever you want to be called. And some person starts it and makes it, clips an invite, sends it out to everybody, and that's it. Super easy. And it's basic telestrations, but it, and if you haven't played telestrations, basically one person gets a description, draws it. The next person interprets that drawing with a sentence, then the next person draws that sentence and it goes back and forth like that until hilarity ensues because you're playing a game of telephone, but it's also, you know, crazy sentences and crazy art because nobody's good.
It all gets really inappropriate really quick.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. The dicks, the time to penis was like, I think the first round. So we had dicks in it and it was me. So that's how I know. So that's always good. But they have all these modes now. They have a story mode where you're kind of like improvising a story. It was that was hilarious and short. That was really good. There's ones where you create animations. There's ones where you make a monster, like somebody will make a head. And then all you can see for the next person can see is the neck. Like where the neck should connect to your torso. So then you do that, but then the bottom of the torso is being shown to the person that's doing the legs. So the monster all comes together somewhat, but it's nutty. Yeah. And these are all like fun and fast and good shit.
Yeah. But I must say though, I mean, it is Gardic Phone is nice. First of all, the name is terrible. We've talked about that before. Yeah. Like, what does that even mean? They need a better name. But the game is free and it's easy. It's accessible on mobile, on the web. It's really easy to use, but I don't know. It's just not the same being in person. It's like live comedy versus watching a comedy special. It's just not the same thing. So I did kind of miss doing like the telestrations in person with everybody, but I don't know. Gardic Phone still works.
Yeah. We got to say, this DLG Con was not the same as a physical one, like not even close. not even the amount of people, the enthusiasm, the being in front of people, you know, it's hard to see the enthusiasm, you know, like everybody's stoked to be at DLG Con physically.
Well, yeah. I mean, when you're in the presence of these people that you never really see, but maybe once a year, I mean, it does feel special. And like you get the opportunity to play tabletop games and just interact. It's definitely different in person. But, you know, this weekend that we had was still pretty good. But I think at one point during it, I said, you know, this just feels like an average weekend when I was 20.
Yeah, that's exactly what it felt like.
Like when I had time to actually game, and like that was kind of more of a priority, which is good too, man. Like I wish we would do more stuff like this often, even if it's once every couple of months, like get the community together to play whatever, doesn't matter. But
yeah, I agree.
So I did miss out on a lot of stuff, including I played some Gardic Phone, but I totally missed out on Dale and Dawson's Stationery Supplies, which I'm a little disappointed about. I heard that was a lot of fun.
Dude, I've never seen so many people just automatically know and start role playing in a game. Because when I went in, we had like two veterans and everyone else was brand new to the game, and everyone started role playing immediately because it just makes the game better and it just makes sense. Like Christian and Rianne were having an inter-office romance and management came down on them for that, and just shenanigans were going on, and because there's downtime, like there's a lot of like
talking around the water cooler.
Yeah, the water cooler talk. There's a lot of water cooler talk all over the place. And that was almost more fun than the actual game going on. But the game itself going on, it's a little convoluted, but it's basically a social game like Among Us, where you have some I think it's 20% of the people are slackers and the rest of them are trying to get the job done. And then management has to fire the slackers without firing specialists. And so there's a lot of shit talking people behind back. Hey, manager, can I talk to you over here for a second? And like a lot of shit talking, man. It's really good. I was in tears a couple of times within the first or second game. It was just really funny. I streamed for 8 hours straight on the first day. And excuse me. One of the clips I want to grab is everybody was in the meeting room. I was dead. I had been fired. And so you become a ghost and you can see what everybody is. And you can't really interact anymore. And audio is just around you. It's local to the area around you. And Christian Sniper was just sitting at his desk talking to himself. Nobody was around. He's like, I'm the only one doing work around here. I'm doing the best. Like you just complaining about everybody, right? And then he's 15 seconds late for the thing, and he's like, "Oh shit, I'm being a bad employee." And he runs over to go get in there. I just thought it was so funny that he was role playing when nobody was around to hear him. That was gold, gold.
Wow, I didn't realize so much role playing was involved. Maybe I wouldn't have been good at this game.
Yeah,
that's okay. I'm sure I'll have an opportunity at some point.
How'd your whole Jedi Knight thing go? I missed that.
Yeah, no. So that was at 8 o'clock on Saturday morning. So I wasn't expecting a big turnout, but me and Nyanko, one of our listeners, were able to actually get this working. And, you know, a couple people were hanging out and watching. But what I wanted to do was actually play some multiplayer on Jedi Knight, or not so much play multiplayer, but load up a map that I made when I was very, very young, kind of walk people through that, show them what it looks like, and actually see if I could accomplish this. So I had a list of directions that needed to be completed for this. There were all sorts of things required. Some software needed to be installed, registry edits. There was quite a few steps, but in the end, we were able to get it to work. So it is possible, which gives me hope, but I don't think I'll ever be able to talk anybody to play this game with me ever again. But it was cool. I mean, I showed off the level that I made. I wish I would have been recording that because there was some good stuff there. And
congratulations, Nanko, for now you have malware and you're making Bitcoin for Bobby.
Yeah. No, it's all legit. But Yeah, that was a good time, man.
Do you remember back in those days, like when you were doing that, you were like, hey, I can do game design, or were you intimidated?
It never occurred to me like that could be done professionally or could be. I never had an interest in like designing games or working in the industry like that, really. It's kind of strange. Like it was always like fun for me, and I never wanted it to be work.
It's funny, Chad did a Counter-Strike map, and he had the same problem with you, where like the skybox is too hard, you know? So he did his inside of a submarine to get around that.
Mm.
Yeah. It was a pretty good map too. I liked it.
Yep. And one thing that, I didn't participate, but you did, was Christian's Mechabellum event. And this was your first time playing Mechabellum, I believe?
Well, I played the demo back when it was a free demo, maybe during one of the Next Fests or something like that. And I liked it then, but I was pretty blown away this time, man. So it's an auto battler where you spend points to make a robot army. And there's so many, maybe 20 different types. And each type has 4 different upgrades, not including overall upgrades. So it can get pretty convoluted. After you place them on the board, they're kind of stuck there forever. They'll always be starting there. And for every subsequent round. And so you can start reacting to each other's strategies. You know, it's like paper, scissors, rock, slash, razor blades, whatever. Like there's so many. There's 2 things that could take out every 1 thing, but you know, those things can be taken out by another 4 mm-hmm. things. So there, that I didn't understand, but I still did pretty well. I came close to beating Christian, and then I beat Yonko, I think. And so we actually didn't finish the tournament, but we did give out a prize for the winner of that. So that was cool. Super fun game. I think I told Christian, it's kind of like playing army toys with your friends, but you don't have to clean up the mess afterwards. Like it, you know, it all self-resolves. Yeah,
what do they call those games? What's that genre? Cause there was one that I really got into, and it was called like TD something. And I can't remember what it was, but it was essentially the same thing. And I played some Mechabellum too, but I don't know, those games, I struggle with them.
Yeah. The auto battlers, right?
Yeah, I guess it's kind of an auto battler, but I think they have a different name. I don't know.
Anyway, I had more fun than I anticipated. The graphics were better than I thought it was going to be. It's just a better game than I thought it was going to be. So it was a pleasant surprise. I'm surprised that I'm glad that I bought it for the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
All right. And then the final game we're going to talk about, I feel like this might have been, I don't know, it's hard for me to pick a highlight here, but this was definitely, I think, some of the most fun I had this weekend was Chained Together. This game's been out for a while. I mean, everybody's already aware of it and probably has played it, but this was my first time playing it, and it is a really interesting co-op game. I mean, the idea, if you don't know, is you're chained together with a bunch of other people, and all you have to do is do a puzzle platformer out of hell, basically. You have to jump and walk and scoot your way off through these precarious situations and go up and up and up and up and slowly work your way out of hell. Now, what happened was when I was playing, we would fall down and we would have to go all the way back up. We'd completely have to reset when we messed up. But you guys found out shortly after I had left and you had continued playing that you can actually reset to the highest point that you had been at before, which makes it a lot easier.
Wow. 95% easier, dude. Like, that's kind of a credit to the game. Well, first of all, I want to take fucking total responsibility for this, because I selected easy because it had that. It says right there, it says like spawn from the highest point. Mm-hmm. But I never saw, like, it's not very intuitive, the game. We were constantly finding out new shit. Mm-hmm. While we were playing. Then again, we didn't do any kind of research at all.
There's no tutorial in the game, which I kind of appreciate after playing PUBG and just being like over tutorialized in that and having to go through the mandatory basic training before I can join a round. I like it when a game's just like, figure it out. Good luck.
Yeah. So yeah, it's a credit to the game that we got knocked off or fell off 30 or 40 times, and we climbed that motherfucker again just so we could play and try to push past it. And we were just, you know, although I would say we're probably better players from all the reps that we put in from the jumps than or like we're pretty much masters at that first bit.
Yeah. I mean, we were very careful at the beginning, like jumping and doing these things. And then by the time we had fallen a bunch of times, like the first few parts, we just were racing up at this point.
Bobby, you, so you left before it got pretty crazy. At some point, the devil guy is like, oh, well, that was a good tutorial, but this is where it really gets hard. And then you start getting into a little bit of physics puzzles. There was this part where there was a downward sloping log, and then there was like these things blocking you from walking. So we're like, you can't crouch. How are we supposed to do this? And so what you end up having to do is two of you jump to the left and two of you jump to the right, and the chain acts as a zip line, and you slide down the pole. Hmm. And I was like, oh, that's so cool, especially since you have to distribute the weight correctly.
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting things that that game does. It's, and for $5, I mean, that's, you got to pick it up. And it's, I said this while we were playing it, it was super smart of them to price it at $5, because that way anybody can just grab it and play it. And it's a game that you really need to play with other people. I mean, obviously it totally loses the whole point of the game if you play by yourself.
Yeah. So it was good hanging out with everybody. Even when people just popped in for a little while, playing a bunch of different games. Ray came in with all his friends and we played with PUBG, so that was cool. Oh, TF2, I don't think we even talked about that. TF2 was very fun. I was not surprised, but like, it made me feel like I've been right about this game all these years, because we had probably six brand new players that never played it again, two veterans, and everybody had a good time. There was laughs and fucking fuck yous and, you know, good-hearted, natured gaming. It was just awesome. That game is so fucking good, and it's forever going to be a special place in my heart, and I'm glad that it worked out for people playing for the first time.
Yeah, there's a reason people still play that game. While we were playing Left 4 Dead 2, somebody had said like, "Ah, oh, this is probably a dead game. Nobody's playing it." And I looked it up, and it had at that time 37,000 people on a Sunday morning playing Left 4 Dead 2.
It's nutty, dude.
I mean, there's a reason why people still play those games. They were and still are really good games.
The one thing that made it look dated to me is for some reason everything just seems so empty. Like modern games has all this trash floating around and looks more realistic. And this is just like, there's a road, there's a car, and you have to jump over that car. And
yeah,
that's pretty much it. But mechanically, it's super sound.
Yeah, that's one thing that's always the case with old games. They just have less like set dressing, I guess. There's not as much stuff out there, and it makes the world feel a little like weird and not lived in.
Yeah, it's kind of like a stage.
Yeah.
Anyway, here's to next year being fucking in person, man. Because I would like to do, like you said, maybe we do like the second Saturday of every month or something and pick a game and we all play.
Yeah, I'd like to do something like this again. This was actually a really good time. And it was, I really felt like I did. One nice thing about DLG Con, and I think this applies both to in person and online, like it does kind of feel like you can take a little bit of a break from your life. And I definitely felt that this weekend. So it was good.
Yeah.
All right. So we've actually got some listener questions that we didn't get to last week, or they came in a little late. So we'll get to those. Before we do, we'll just real quickly on the radar, games that have come to our attention. One I want to really quickly mention is Core Keeper. I bought this, the Steam Halloween sale is still going on. It was $15. I was having a conversation with someone at a family get together recently, and they were talking about this game and compared it to Stardew Valley, but with more combat. So I said, okay, I'll give it a shot. I'll see, because, you know, I've been trying to find something other than Stardew Valley that I can play with my girlfriend, and it's been really tough. But I'm going to give this one a shot, and we'll see how it goes. It is classified as like an open world crafting survival game, but it does visually look a lot like Stardew Valley. And I guess the idea is that you're deep down in, like, I don't know, somewhere under the surface of the earth, and you have to like base build and expand and explore and then defeat bosses to work your way out of there. But it's an interesting idea. I don't know if it's going to have, since it's not technically a farming sim, I don't know if it's going to have exactly what I'm looking for, but I'm willing to give it a shot. We'll see how it goes.
I know you keep looking for that Stardew Valley itch, man. I hope you find something that scratches it. I found this game. It's coming out on the 8th. It's probably the biggest title in the next week. I don't know. Could be something else, but that's what I found. Slitterhead, weird name. It's a Japanese game by the director of the original Silent Hill. So it's a action-adventure third-person horror game set in a place that looks like Japan, but they call it something else. Your character is, they describe it as an entity devoid of memory or physical form, and basically just has this drive to kill these slitterheads, which are, they look like humans walking around in the city, and you have to, I guess, figure out who they are and kill them. And if you ever played the original Silent Hill or any of them, the character design is fucking nutty, man. The shit is nuts. So, the way you kill them is, since you have no physical form, you jump into people's bodies and, I guess, use them as your puppets, humans, regular humans, and kill the slitterheads with that. So, sounds pretty crazy and out there. But so was the first, the original Silent Hill. So I don't know. I think for you horror heads out there, it might be a good one. I know we just finished October, but if you didn't get your fix, maybe this is it.
All right. And that's coming out November 8th. And
November 8th.
One of the tags on this game on the Steam page is dog.
Dog?
Dog. Just dog. Wow. Yeah.
Take that. Yeah.
And if I click on that tag, you can see other games classified as dog, I guess, because they have dogs in them. But okay. Interesting. I didn't know that was a thing.
Hilarious. Cool. All right. Under subs and donos, Trazilla is, well, it says new patron, but he's also one of our highest people of all time. He probably just put a new credit card in there. And so anyway, you deserve a shout out either way. Also, shout out to Burn Division. He gave us a song for DLG Con. It might be better than the whole DLG Con itself. It's pretty good. He used AI and cleaned it up and some editing, and it's nice. It's nice. You'll hear it at the end of this episode as an outro. Also, if you check it out on YouTube, you'll see some pictures from DLG Con and some GIFs maybe. If they play correctly, we don't know.
I think they will. Yeah.
All right.
Coming up at the end of the show. But first, we got a few listener questions here. So some that didn't get to us in time for our Halloween episode. One from Pyronical asks, what's the line where spooky becomes horror in video games, movies, or shows?
I'll tell you exactly what the line is, whether or not I'll fuck with it. Like, I'll fuck with spooky, but I won't fuck with horror generally. Most horror movies end up feeling dumb to me, but horror games I just can't handle for the most part.
Yeah,
that's the line, man. I know that's not very specific, but
yeah, and I don't know where that is for me. It's very blurred, but I don't know. Spooky to me, I guess, would be family friendly, something you can watch with the kids, and yeah. You don't want to scar them for life. I guess that's that's the line. Okay, before we move on, I forgot we had a bunch of subs from over the weekend when we were streaming and playing games here. So I wanted to shout out Good Guy Mansur, maybe, subscribed. Thank you very much, dude. We appreciate it. Also, Rectify gifted a bunch of subs to a bunch of people. That's awesome. Thank you so much. And then we've got one more from Zap, who subscribed 22 months in a row for Zap.
Thanks, Zap.
All right.
He showed up for a game. I hadn't heard his voice in like 2 years.
Really? Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, we saw a lot of people over the week, and it was nice to connect with everyone, with the community. And that's something I always say we need to do more is engage with the community.
Speaking of Zap, he's the next listener question.
Yep. And he's got two questions. First one is a game good if it requires mods to make it good? For example, is Skyrim good or is Skyrim with mods good?
Skyrim is good and Skyrim with mods is great.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there are examples out there too, like DayZ, where the mod eclipses the game because DayZ was DayZ. What was that a mod for? Arma?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it was.
Pretty sure.
Yeah, and then you know, even like the Battle Royale stuff, I think that started out as a mod for a game that I can't remember, and then eventually blew up into something much bigger than it. But yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's, you can answer this question either way. I think it depends on the game. Skyrim, I'd say that's a good game, like Emilio said, but it is better with mods. But there are some where it's just like it's all about the mod. Like that's the only thing anyone plays. I wonder if Warcraft 3 is at that point yet with their custom maps. Probably not. People still play vanilla. Anyway, Zap's other question is, do you think we'll ever reach photorealistic graphics in video games, and do you think it's even necessary?
It's definitely not necessary, because a lot of my favorite games are 8-bit looking, or 16-bit, so, and I'm fine with them.
Yeah.
I'm exactly fine with the graphics. I feel like the lower fidelity you get with the graphics, the higher amount of things you can jam in there. But yeah, eventually, I mean, I'm seeing some of these AI things that people are making. Like, what did I see? Oh, Stranded on Dagobah. It was like Luke and Yoda, instead of like doing what they did, they fall in love with each other and have a baby. And it's like a trailer for a movie. And it's so nutty, dude, because you can see them grow old and their little baby that's half and half, and it's so weird, man. But yeah, I mean, it looks pretty good, like graphically, and it's pretty close to photorealism. So how long between somebody making these 4-second tiny clips and putting them all together to make an entire game? Not long, less than a year, I'd say. I don't know.
Yeah, photorealism is not important to me at all. In fact, most of the games I play don't really require much in the way of graphics. So, I don't know. That came up a few times with everyone talking about these new NVIDIA cards that are going to be announced at CES this year. I mean, it's kind of a natural inclination for all PC gamers to just want to upgrade to the best new hardware that's out there. But when I think about it realistically, like I have absolutely no need for it. Like 90% of the games that I play don't require that kind of horsepower.
Yeah. Stardew Valley.
Yeah. All right. So Warconius, he had submitted a lot of recommendations last week for our Halloween episode, but he wanted to follow that up. He said, I forgot to mention the two goats of scary video games. He says two, but then he lists three here. In typical Warconius fashion.
You can do
fashion.
Whatever you want.
All right. Resident Evil 2 Remake is the best remake ever made and damn scary with Mr. X stalking you throughout the police station. Also, special shout out to Resident Evil 4, a game that started the third-person action-adventure genre. It holds up still, and the remake is also exceptional. Finally, The Last of Us 2, not yet on Steam, probably next year, is a must-play for anyone that enjoys the zombie genre. A game at the highest of quality. Gameplay, voice, music, and set pieces, the best of the best.
I gotta agree with that. Yeah, that game is exceptional.
It's too bad Nick isn't here, because here's my question. What's the best Resident Evil game? I feel like people talk the most about 4. I don't know why, but to me it seems like I hear the most praise about Resident Evil 4.
But yeah, I think like he said, that's when it became less of, it wasn't horror survival, it was more of like an over the shoulder action game. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know what makes it set it apart. It's a real creepy fucking village. I think that's the village one. It's really creepy setting. Like, they weren't zombies. They were people, but they were in a cult or something, which almost makes it worse, you know?
Yeah, I've only played 5 and a little bit of 7, so I don't have a whole lot of experience with Resident Evil, but the remakes do interest me. Okay, Warconius also asks, describe your dream DLG con. Where would it be? What's the house like? And what are we eating or playing?
Ooh.
See, I think he's missing the most important question, who is there? Because that's what makes DLG con great. So my ideal DLG con would be one where everybody's there. The whole community is able to go and show up. And it doesn't really matter what we do or what we eat at that point. I think just having everyone there would be awesome.
I'll answer. I think, yeah, definitely what Bobby said, but I think the one that's planned next, hopefully, I mean, it's just a fart in the wind right now, but a lake house somewhere in the Midwest would be really cool, because like, we had a lake in Texas, but it was like fucking mile away, and we're on, you know, fatos, like, it's a long walk, man. I want to go down there. So having a lake house where you just go outside, go fucking play and come right back in, kind of like the pool, would be great. I think that would be super cool. Food wise, as long as JP Diddy is cooking, I'm eating.
Yep, it's got that covered. I think it's going to be hard to top 1 and 5, but I do like the idea of a DLG con in more of a remote location. Because yeah. I think the best ones have always been where everyone just hangs out at the house and and plays.
Yep.
All right. Final question from Cricket Soldier. What was your favorite board game or card game played at any of the DLG cons?
I mean, the easy answer is Telestrations, right? Because we're crying, laughing every round. Like, it's so fucking funny. Something magical happens one of the rounds every time we play. That's the easy answer. The harder answer is probably Binding of Isaac, just because, like, it's the only place I can find people that understand the mechanics. You know, it's not something I can bust out on a random Saturday with people that are over here, you know?
Mm-hmm. There was a Star Wars game that we had at DLG Con 5 that Christian brought that I would love to play again. I wanted to play more of that there, but never got an opportunity.
Is that the card-based one, Bobby?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with the pre-built decks where you play against each other. It's the same decks each time. It's not like a customizable card game.
Is that the one that has a ground-based units and sky-based on the battlefield?
I think so. It's not
hero units. I'm saying because Chad bought it and left it here, so I have that game.
No, not that one. No, that's okay. a CCG one.
Okay.
Yeah. But I will also say, like, the first DLG con, I think it was Telestrations that we were playing, and I think the pube nest was the big inside joke on that one. And I don't think I've laughed harder in my life than like playing that game at the first DLG con. That was a good time.
So good. Yeah.
All right. That's all I got in me, man. I am spent. It's been a weekend, but we'll be back next week. Christian's going to be back next week. Hopefully Nick's going to be back next week. Possibly Days, too, is going to be in the rotation as well. So we're going to be back to our usual scheduled programming then. And I'll probably be playing some Core Keeper. Amelia, what are you going to be playing?
I have no idea. But stick around because you'll hear the outro music and see some pictures if you're watching.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're listening, stick around too. You'll at least hear the music. But we've got some screenshots of games we've been playing too. So check us out on YouTube, dlgaming.net. All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye. Diddies.
Emilio's in the chat, can't wait to see him more. Days cracks a joke, we're rolling on the floor. Jackbox games at midnight, who could ask for more? All over the world.
Online party, let the good times begin. Hey.